Oh, good morning, Roo. Are you happy to mix with us plebs here today? I see you yesterday palling around with the top man.
I was
you
in
and
the
Steve.
Pub, and he just hey? Having a bowl on in oh, there, and oh, I just oh. thought I'd, that's his area. I just see. Thought I'd make sure he got in and didn't actually overcrowd. He didn't even book.
You and your mate, Steve.
I was just doing the right thing by the public, Dits, and making
did
sure.
Did you shout him a beer?
I did.
Hell,
what? He didn't know. I didn't actually shout him. He just didn't pay. He just had a beer and walked out.
Clearly you have shouted. Have a listen to this. Here's Stephen Marshall.
That was the first beer that I have had for about 3 months.
Oh, we can tell. That's my first beer.
He was gone.
He had a sniff and he was out of
what
it.
What a cheap drunk he is. I tell you what, old Steve, far out. I don't want blokes like him in the pub. If you can only get 20 in there, you want blokes who can drink this.
So, did you have a good chat? What did you get out of him?
No, he just was there to announce that pubs are open and, you know, for jobs and all that sort of stuff. And the reporters really picked his brain hard about when they were going to ease restrictions and what was going to happen in the future with, you know, hospitality and the construction industry and gyms and all the other places. So I just sat back there and watched, and he's a busy man.
Oh, yeah.
He's up at 4 o'clock, you know.
Is he
beats
really?
Us out of bed.
Is that right?
Yep.
Every day.
Works flat out. I had a chat to a couple of people that, you know, hang around him and help him. And they just said he's a machine.
Mm.
So anyone out there who thinks they don't earn their money, he's up at 4 and he works all day.
Yep.
And he would be 7 days a week.
Yeah. Well, do you know what?
And
you
wouldn't first beer in 3 months.
You wouldn't be out on the grog every night.
As a result
night.
Of that coronavirus.
Right. So yeah. Hey, Tex Walker will join us later on this morning. But also, Roo, an interesting gentleman called Topher Townsend, who's a rapper, and he lives in Mississippi. Now, when I hear Mississippi, you think of slavery and Ku Klux Klan. You know, going back in history, I mean, you're talking black Americans.
I don't know enough about that.
Who've been treated really badly.
Is this a bad, bad area? Or?
Well, it was. I mean, in history, a lot of the bad things that happened.
What about now?
We're in Mississippi. Well, that's what we're going to find out. So he's been a part of the protests over there in the over the last couple of days. So he'll join us. And he'll be a good chat, I reckon. The Angels are going to join us as well. And we'll announce what number 14
yes.
in the greatest of all time. Roo and Dits here on Triple M. Just a reminder, Roo, about texting us as well. What's the number?
Yeah, the number is 0488851047.
6:12, Roo and Dits here on this Tuesday morning. Roo, just a reminder about the new text line that we've opened up. We've got this great prize, and we'll announce it Thursday, the best text of the week.
Yep.
We're going to give them a very, very special weekend.
We sure are, Dits. We're going to give them a couple of nights up at the Harndorf Resort, which is absolutely beautiful property up there in the Adelaide Hills. Great location to base yourself and get out and have a look around what everything the hills got to offer, plus a spot for two at the roof climb at Adelaide Oval, which is a great little half-day event in itself. So a cracking prize then on Thursday.
All right, so text anytime on 0488851047.
Roo and Dits, top three things you need to know.
Roo, going back, let's have a listen to our Prime Minister Scott Morrison talking about rentals and the hard times we're going to go through.
State and territories will be moving to put a moratorium on evictions of persons as a result of financial distress if they are unable to meet their commitments. There would be a moratorium on evictions for the next 6 months under those rental arrangements.
Now, he's saying states will move to do it.
That's
did
right.
they actually do it? And is it law? Is it in place? Does a moratorium mean, yes, it's definite? Because have a listen to this caller to the overnight program on Triple M.
Yeah, and it was ended up having Centrelink as my main income for January to March. That just wasn't covering rent and ended up getting evicted from your rental. And yeah, had to change suburbs back to northern suburbs and live with mum.
Was your landlord happy?
So that fella's gone back to live with his mum.
Not at all.
Ended up being evicted. Now,
did he get evicted in March or January though?
He was on Centrelink.
Okay. Oh, well, if he's been evicted, it goes against what Scott Morrison wanted all the landlords to do out there. Now,
but I'm also hearing that there are businesses around Adelaide that are under pressure, certainly in the CBD, that they're not paying their rent. And some landlords are saying, well, if you don't pay, you're going to have to get out. Well, I thought there was a moratorium, but I must have that wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. There's always going to be things rush through in these times. And, we'll wait and see, Dits, but certainly not the spirit of what Scott Morrison wanted in Australia. He wanted them to look after each other and work together so they come out the other side.
We're all doing it tough. Now, interesting story out of Russia. You know how we heard rumours, there were stories about a doctor in China who, from day one, exposed coronavirus and apparently was never heard of again.
Sort of leaked it, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. And he went missing.
Got crooked real quick.
Yeah. In Russia, not that it's a laughing matter, but in Russia, there's a young doctor, and you can see her online today, Anastasia Pavlyev, I think her name is.
Good try. Anyway,
she's a doctor and has said, they're actually telling Porky Pies, everything in Russia is not going that well.
Oh, the hospitals, heaps of eviction.
People are dying.
Positive.
She's been arrested. Yeah, you don't speak out against the government and
that's
expose.
Just what happens over there, eh?
Yeah, don't expose what's going on.
Don't.
So she's trying to tell the truth, and she's actually come out and said, our government is lying. They're covering this all up. And, yeah, so she's gone as well.
Well, you got to do what they say over there, don't you? Hey, did you see, we had tornadoes in Adelaide on Sunday night. We don't have tornadoes in Adelaide, do we? Did you see on the news last night?
Yeah, I saw a bit of damage, but I didn't realise it was so widespread.
There were different places all over Adelaide, and a mate of mine who actually rents Texas, one of his old house, had a tornado go through there.
You're kidding.
Yeah, like, and big gums come down and falling on cars, and he said the SES said it was a tornado.
Right.
I didn't think we had tornadoes.
No, I'd never heard of that before.
We had extreme wind.
Well, I thought in the northern part we had tropical cyclones in Australia. I've never heard of tornadoes here or hurricanes or anything.
And I asked him twice, and they said on the news last night, there was people with their roofs blown off in some places.
Yeah, okay.
So,
well, that's a tornado.
It is a tornado.
Yeah. Hey, just finally, Donald Trump made me laugh overnight in what is a bad story, but it's comical, typical Trump thing. He said, come on, you governors, you need to toughen up. Get tough with these people. Arrest them and lock them up.
Mm-hmm.
He was hiding in a bunker underneath the White House yesterday when he sent that visit.
Well, he's got to look after himself.
But he couldn't be found. And it turns out he was holed up in a bunker because things were getting a little bit hairy.
He was under attack at the White House.
Come on, toughen up. He's a beauty.
Yeah, he's
all right,
a beauty.
6:17 ruined. It's here on Triple M Statman coming up next.
Yeah, I read an article this morning, Dits, that pricked my ears a little bit. I don't like to do anything wrong in this world. You don't want to take too big a risks if you don't have to. But there's an article online today saying that lighting a fire in your backyard is actually breaking the law.
How far does this go?
It says that if you use wood to light a fire, which, most people would sort of tend to do that, then if you get caught, you could be facing a fine of $300. Now, this is a rule that's been in place since 1994, and it applies across Adelaide and its townships.
So you light fires in your backyard, do you?
I absolutely always have.
What sort of fires?
Oh, not, controlled, smart, either in a chimney or a fire pit.
Yeah.
Always control, nothing bloody stupid.
No. Well, I'm the same. I use a chimney, so am I breaking the law?
Oh, I don't know. If you're using, are you using wood?
Yeah.
Well, if you look at the online today, it says burning wood instead of charcoal in your backyard, fire pit or brazier can land you with a $300 fine.
$300?
Now, it goes on
we've all done this, I'm sure.
If it's used for cooking, then you're okay. All right.
So I'll do a chop on the
chimney. So just have one snag sitting out there with a pair of tongs, but you also got to have a hose hooked up and ready to go just in case, something happens to go astray.
So obviously a barbecue doesn't count.
No,
but you're saying a wood fire of some description.
Well, if you had a wood, technically by this, it's saying if you had a wood fire and you weren't cooking.
Yeah.
Bang.
Did you have an incinerator growing up?
Yes.
Everyone did, and they don't exist anymore in backyards, but we all had an incinerator.
They were nasty.
Yeah.
Didn't
and I think that was all about
much.
The pollution and everything that they got outlawed. But
everything
also,
got chucked into those
back
in the day.
I remember my mum going off because she'd say, I've just hung my washing out and next door's lit their bloody incinerator.
Yeah,
and
but
so
you had plastics and bloody all sorts in that because you never had bins getting picked up by the council in those days.
That's right.
I'm shocked by this. I'm surprised. Has anyone been done?
Yeah.
Or do they enforce this? That's exactly right. There's a rule there, but is it enforced? Is it only used when, you're in a very small backyard and the wind's blowing, howling into the neighbour's window and you shouldn't use it anyway?
I like my chimney a lot.
So no, you're a rule breaker too?
Yeah, I'm a rule breaker.
Has anyone been done by this law? Has anyone been fined $300 for lighting a fire in Adelaide in their backyard?
If you work for a council or someone, please explain this law to us. Because you're saying if you're cooking food with it, you're okay. Oh, well, that's silly. What would it matter whether you're cooking food or not?
Well, if
and the other thing, if someone can explain this rule to me as well, we've been told, because we live in the hills, we do light a fire a fair bit in our inside the house. We've got an open fire.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to pick up like wood for kindling on the side of the road. Now we've done this, and
what
the
do you
other
mean
day
wood
someone
on the side of the road, like branches.
Well, there's
off
massive
trees.
Yeah, there are massive trees everywhere in the hills. And Kate and I could be going out for a walk, and we'll pick up a couple of twigs. And the other day, someone tooted us for doing it.
No, he probably
and I responded
just
very politely
because
by the
it
way.
Was you.
No.
It was probably just going like that.
He copped a piece of my mind, but.
Well, did he stop and say...
No, but he tooted like, hey, you're not meant to be doing that.
How do you know he's talking about picking up wood, though?
Oh, it was obvious. He was a hippie. He was in his combi.
Oh, no, he come was. On. He was might a... be a bloody fan of the show.
No, he was a greeny hippie, long hair.
He might have been a vegan that hears you pot them all the time and wanted to stick it up.
And that's why. Mind your own business.
How do you know he's talking
I'd
about
never
the wood?
Toot someone what, for picking up a couple of twigs that have fallen. I haven't
yeah,
ripped them off a tree.
How do you know he was talking about wood?
Because he was. It was obvious.
Yeah, I reckon that.
But there's a rule, and because someone
come
explained it to
it.
Me, you're not allowed to pick up wood off the side of the road. It's a
oh,
rule. It's a law.
Why?
I don't know. If someone can explain
well,
that
an animal
to me.
Might live on it.
Yeah, I think that's what it's about, like ants and wildlife and all that sort of thing. I'm serious.
Ants yeah. and wildlife.
It's a, hang on, Mel's all over this. What's
I
the
did,
story,
I
Mel?
Just Googled it. So
oh, come on, Google Queen.
Roadside,
what have
you done? Roadside firewood collection is not allowed throughout South Australia unless a particular council permits it because verges, national parks and parks in general are all out of bounds. Those areas provide a habitat for a whole range of species and are just as important as the parks.
I understand in national
how
parks
ridiculous.
Reserves. National parks and reserves
that's ridiculous.
Are fine.
Mm.
So I pick up a few twigs for kindling.
You're in trouble.
Yeah, burn a few ants.
I've heard a dragonfly or something.
Penalties up to $1,000.
Oh, I didn't really do it. I didn't do it. I was talking hypothetically.
That's an expensive fire.
Oh, gee.
It's an expensive twig.
It is.
133353. Has anyone been done by this? Hopefully not. I hope the phones don't ring you. I'll lose it if they've been done for this. $300 in the backyard for a fire or $1,000 for picking up wood on the side of the road.
Don't pick up wood from the side of the road. That would be terrible.
I don't know about the US. I'll be firing up here if they get
Come
done
on.
For this.
I'm all for the habitat.
133353. Hopefully no one rings.
Talking about fines for, what, burning wood in your backyard.
Yeah, we'll come back to that text line in a minute. I think we're getting a few good calls there from all over the state.
Right.
Let's go to Graham from Dover Gardens. Graham, have you been fined for having a fire in your backyard?
No. We had this clown living next door to us after a 42-degree day.
Oh, no.
He decided to light a fire in the middle of the yard, right?
What, a contained one or like just a put all the stuff in the middle and have a bonfire?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, not a bonfire, but anyway, so our house started filling up with smoke. So I've rang someone and I've come around and issued him a $5,000 fine.
Did he talk to you?
No, we didn't talk at all, this bloke. Oh, we didn't talk before that. He was the biggest clown you ever want to meet.
Really?
But
So was it the council that fined him?
No, the police come around and issued him a $5,000 fine.
Right.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah. Sounds
that's
like
a big
he
fine.
Might have deserved something on a 42 degree. It would have been a total fire ban as
Oh, no doubt about that.
Mm.
Yeah. All right. More calls in just a moment. 133353. 6:55, all thanks to Adelaide Tools here on Triple M Roo. Fella lives in Burton, was cooking sausages on the Weber, and a grumpy old neighbour told the council he got a $300 fine.
On the Weber?
Yeah, sounds a bit harsh.
Very harsh, if you can't have a snag in Australia.
Adam from Capunda, the fire service came around because he had a fire pit going in the backyard and he was made to put it out, but no fine apparently.
All right, so just a little warning there. Let's go to Charleston. G'day, Kane.
G'day, Roo. How are you, mate?
Very good. What's happened to you?
Oh, mate, look, I've lived up in the hills all my life, and we used to have a lot of fires. Back in the day, you could burn pretty much whatever you wanted. Nowadays, you've got to apply to the local council. You've got to get a permit. Yeah, you've
what,
got to
even
get a
at this
permit.
Time of year?
Yeah, mate. If you want to have a backyard fire, like, you know, just burning off tree cuttings and stuff like that, you've got to get a permit.
Really?
They're pretty easy to obtain. They don't cost you anything. And they just send it out to your mailbox. And as long as you got that when they come out to your house, they're only valid for a certain time.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty much it, mate. I mean, we've burnt just about everything over the years in the backyard, and I have been.
Hang on. What do you mean you've burnt just about everything in the backyard?
give us a few abnormal
things you've burnt.
Oh, look, I can't really say because the environmentalist
doing a bit of the wrong thing.
But Kane, friends of yours.
I'm not doing the wrong thing.
Friends of yours, you would have a lot of sort of bonfires and things like that, wouldn't you, living in Charleston?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Like gatherings, people get around on a cold night. Yeah.
Absolutely, Dits. Yeah, we do. Look, at the end of the day, you got to do the right thing. I get it. We've nearly, don't get me wrong, my old man one time at my bro's place in Bridgewater nearly set fire to the gum tree out the front.
Yeah, well, that's what happens, isn't it?
It can get out of control if you're not careful. So, you know, look, the advice is just go to your local council, get the proper permit, and then you can have your backyard fires.
All right. Thanks, Kane. Thanks for calling in.
Let's go to Meadows. G'day, Steve.
G'day, Roone. Dits, how are you?
Yeah, good, Steve.
I just got a bit of a query on this because I live up in the hills and we get trees and branches that drop off and at the front of our place and half across the road, I've had to pull a couple off the road so I can get out my driveway, and they're telling me I can't cut that up for firewood. What do I do? Just leave it there then ring somebody? It's a bit bloody ridiculous.
It is. I know, Steve. There's a fine line there between doing the right thing and giving a possum somewhere to go and sit out in the breeze or do whatever they do, an ant. What Dits is talking about, sitting on a branch. So, yeah.
It's a strange one.
It is a strange one. Yeah, I'm not sure, Steve. You know, I reckon if you took a risk, you'd probably get away with it most times. Let's go to Western Suburbs. G'day, Pete.
G'day. How you going, boys?
What part of the Western Suburbs are you from, Pete? Don't want to say.
Yeah, no, I don't really want to say, mate.
That's all right. That's all right, mate.
We've got a pizza oven. We've got an old stainless steel drum out of a washing machine that we use for cooking kebabs.
How good are they? I've got one of them.
Fantastic.
They look great when they're lit up, don't they, with all the little holes in them?
Yeah, yeah. And a chimenea that we use as well. The council ended up coming around, mate, and, basically told us that we're not allowed to burn wood in the chimenea, but as for the other two, for food, no worries. I even went to the extent of putting a 6-meter exhaust system on the chimenea to keep the smoke away from the neighbour's house.
Oh, that's a good idea. I mean, that makes sense. Why don't you, for your chimenea, buy a thing called a chimicue, which is like a little thing that you can put on top and cook your sausages and that on that, and then after you cook your sausages, just leave it on top and keep your wood burning.
Yeah, yeah. So now it's charcoal only, and they can't book us for it.
Right.
All right, burn thanks the for the charcoal. Call, Peter. Hey, with that chimicue thing you're talking about, I've seen one of those, but how does it work?
How does the smoke on escape? Your flue, well, you have it up, and then you have just a little grill plate on top.
Right.
And the smoke just goes straight up through that.
Right. So does your meat taste like it's smoked, does it?
Yeah, and that's heaps better anyway. Meat cooked with wood has heaps more flavour and charcoal than gas.
Well, a lot of people put charcoal in chimneys as well, so that could be a good combo.
Exactly right. Yeah, that's the reason. Well, they're probably doing that so they don't get fined $300.
Yeah. All right. There's one little cube of charcoal in there. In a moment, Tex Walker's going to join us here on Triple M. Tex Walker's going to join us in just a moment, Roo, as he builds up towards the showdown, round two of the AFL.
It's only a week and a half away, Dits.
Yes.
Looking good, isn't it?
Not long to wait at all. Hey, what's the latest, the news out of America about Mr. Floyd, who...
Well, there's been an independent autopsy done that said that he died from pressure on the neck, which sort of contradicted the autopsy that was put out first, which did reek of... trying to make a case that the cop wasn't guilty.
Yeah,
he could have had contaminants in his body, but everyone is in that situation.
All right, let's hear from George Floyd's brother.
So if I'm not over here wilding out, blowing up stuff, if I'm not over here messing up my community, then what are y'all doing? Y'all doing nothing, because that's not going to bring my brother back at all. I know he would not want y'all to be doing this. It may feel good for the moment, just like when you drink, but when it comes down, you're gonna wonder what you did. But we're not gonna take it. We're not gonna be repetitious. In every case of police brutality, the same thing has been happening. Y'all protest, y'all destroy stuff, and if they don't move, you know why they don't move? Because it's not their stuff, it's our stuff. So they want us to destroy our stuff.
Hmm. They don't want the rights, obviously, do they?
Hard to know, Roo. I think it's a very, very divided community at the moment, right across America.
Well, that's what he was saying, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. We're going to be joined by a rapper, in fact, an African-American rapper who lives in Mississippi. His name is Topher Townsend, and he's got a real interesting view about everything that's happening over there at the moment. We'll talk to him just after 8 o'clock this morning, but you know, what's it like as a black man, like him, living in Mississippi today? We'll find out later on. But up next, Tex Walker here on Triple M.
Triple M.
Ruin Dits for breakfast. Distinctive homes. Perfect for your lifestyle. Our house. Your home.
Let's talk about
Tex.
Tex. Tex.
Oh, good morning, Tex. How are you this morning?
You there, Tex?
Morning, boys. Oh. Sorry, I was just jumping out of my car. Just locked up at training.
Righto.
Early bird gets the worm.
Sure.
How are we all going?
Yeah. You like worms, do you?
I like worms.
Yeah, good.
Hey, what happened over the weekend? Did your wife have a big win?
Did you heard about that then?
I did. What happened?
What do you mean a big win?
Big win, mate.
Tex, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, boys. Sorry about that.
No, it's not your fault. There was something wrong with the line. Right, so tell us about Ellie's big win over the weekend.
Yeah, so I had a little sneak quad in Belmont and out the first leg, so I thought I'll put the treble on. I thought, buddy, Ellie's here. I'm going to ask her what she thinks. You know what girls are like? They go on colours or numbers. And so I got the first leg, and Ellie picked the second leg, and it paid $40.
Oh, right. What? And what are the... Yes.
I tell you what, once the... And then, you know what you always do in the last leg? You always got a back pike, so he got up and won, and... So he won the treble. And didn't she put her hand out? She couldn't put it out quick enough.
Well, she should have got probably 80% of it because she probably contributed that much to it.
Really?
You're sounding like a desperate gambler at the moment too, by the way.
She didn't outlay anything, so she doesn't really get a cut of it.
Oh, you're terrible.
Ruthless,
you're terrible.
Man.
All right, now we've heard, I heard Hamish Hartlett talking yesterday about Port Adelaide training, that it was a bit fearsome and he's battered and bruised. What's it been like getting back into the real hard physical stuff for you, Tex?
Nah, a bit similar. Obviously, it takes a little bit of time to get used to it when you haven't done it for a while. But we had a game on Friday. We got another bit of a scratch match on Saturday. So hopefully that'll hold us in good stead for next Saturday night when I win a nice bottle of red off you and a nice dinner.
Beautiful. That's the way, Tex. Nice and confident. What about the pay dispute that's just starting to come out in the papers, Tex? Do you hope that the Players Association and the AFL just work together here and get to an agreement that's fair for both parties? We don't want an ugly bloody pay dispute, do we? It looks stupid.
Nah, exactly right. Hopefully for both parties you can get something that's fair and reasonable. Understand what's going on in the world, and we're part of that. So we can come into an agreement as soon as we can and get on with the year and put some smiles on some faces. That'd be what we're all about.
Any players come back after this period and surprise you about how forward they are in their training? Will we see any different players, do you think, in the round two side as opposed to the round one, Tex?
Oh, I think you might see a few different, maybe a few up front. Obviously, Ty Stengel won't play the first month, so someone will come in and play there. And
after his DUI ban?
Yeah.
That's what it is. I was just letting people know if they didn't know what you were talking about.
Yeah, righto. But no, we'll probably see a few different changes. We'll blood some young guys and still keep some experience in around the group and look forward to it. I can't wait. Get up there and get some warm weather.
Beautiful. Hey, what about the tornado at your old house?
Oh, wasn't that a bloody shambles.
Do you have insurance?
Yeah, had insurance, mate. Got one of my mates just fixing up a few tiles today, old punters. He's going to fix up the tiles on the roof.
Punters.
Absolutely ripped through Unley and all that through that area. So thank God everyone's safe, but a few missing trees and missing tiles.
Mm. All right, we'll take a short break. Tex, how old is Hugo now?
He's nearly 7 months 7 months.
All right. Mm. So I'm going to ask you about him in just a moment, Ruth.
This is child abuse.
Apparently. No, this is a good story.
This is child abuse.
He's got good taste, little Hugo, even at 7 months of age. All right, we'll find out more. We'll find out more in just a moment. He's in my camp. All right, Ruined It's here on Triple M. Tex joins us thanks to Distinctive Homes. Righto, Tex Walker's on the line. Hey, Ru, I received a photo during the week that really, really made me smile.
This is disgraceful.
Little Hugo Walker in his Port Adelaide gear. What's the story, Tex?
Yeah. Sad day for the Walker family. Ellie obviously caught up with her family on the weekend and took little Hugo, and her uncle George thought, I'm going to take Hugo out to have a look at the chickens out the back. And much to my disgust, I get a photo about 2 hours later after Ellie and Hugo got home with a port scarf hanging around Hugo's neck.
Magnificent.
Oh, that's disgraceful. So, he looks so sad, Tex.
If you open the dictionary, which I've never done, that is a definition of child abuse.
Has he been eating his food since, or has he gone off his tucker a little bit, or
hasn't slept, won't eat, refusing to do anything we ask him to do?
Not taking the boob.
He looks 6 foot tall. He grew muscles wearing that.
Become a bit rebellious.
Oh, did he? Was he a bit naughty?
Yeah, very naughty.
No. Yeah.
No, so tell me about Uncle George.
He had no teeth, so he sounds like, looked at it, right?
Hey, Uncle George sounds like a good bloke. Tell me about him.
Don't worry, I'll give him a pair of crow shorts probably 6 months ago, and I get photos quite regularly from his two sisters, him in the yard in his crow's gear. So,
he has a bit both ways, George, does he?
Yeah, I'm slowly starting to persuade him over the crowies.
Tex, you got to watch out for your relatives and friends. They'll do this to your kids. You know, this is the start of it. So just be prepared who you let Hugo get looked after by, all right? Little tip.
My dead body will be barracking for Port Adelaide. Don't worry about that.
You got a joke for us, Texan?
Yeah, look, obviously, older people like to go to church, and this older couple went to church, and the wife and the husband said, "Hey, love, hope you don't mind, I just did a bit of a silent fart." And he turned to her and said, "Hey, love, you need to put some batteries in your hearing aids."
Good on you, Tex. Enjoy training this morning, mate. Thanks for talking to us.
See you, boys.
There he is, Tex Walker. All thanks to Distinctive Homes. Perfect for your lifestyle. Our house, your home. Ruined It's on Triple M. 7:40, Ruined It's here on Triple M. Thanks to Adelaide Tools. They've got all the biggest brands. Makita, Milwaukee, Metabo, Sidchrome, Husqvarna, Feztool, Pazlode, and many, many more.
Yeah, they sure have, Dit. So there's been some stimulation packages around. There's been Job Seeker, Job Keeper. Now we've got Job Maker.
Yep.
Lots of things happening. But the building industry, they've been going along okay because they've had a sort of a backlog of work. But a lot of the people I know in the industry are worried about it falling off a cliff at some stage in the not-too-distant future. Mm. There are some bit of talk from ScoMo around. We've heard it the last couple of days. And a bit of talk getting around that there are going to be some big packages announced. They're saying not just for first homeowners, they're saying for anyone. And they're also talking about, which I've never heard in my lifetime, and I wonder what you, if you've ever had it, Dits, talk about if you do even renovations on your house, there are going to be assistance for that. Whether you do a kitchen or a bathroom, you spend $100,000 on a reno or whatever, you'll get assisted for that as well. Because
Ever heard of that.
Well,
never.
This is what I'm hearing. I don't know if it's true or not, but we've got an expert here. The head of the Property Council in South Australia is Daniel Gannon, and he joins us now. G'day, Daniel.
Good morning, boys.
Am I on the mark? Am I off?
Well, look, just a couple of things from the outset, Roo. Firstly, property and construction is South Australia's biggest private sector employer. So there's a really important economic piece around this, and that's why governments do occasionally talk about how construction can lead us through an economic recovery. So it's pretty big. Now, when it comes to new housing construction as opposed to renovations, new housing construction is a really big driver of jobs. It's a big driver of that economic activity that governments do look for. But this is slowing down at the moment. And as it does slow down, it could apply a handbrake on South Australia's economic recovery as we come out of COVID-19. So there's an opportunity right now, as we're hearing and seeing Scott Morrison, Stephen Marshall, the federal and state governments, to get behind this big stimulus measure. Now, measures like this will put more, you know, tradies on work sites. There'll be more temporary fencing and trenches being dug up on your suburban streets. That's all good news because, of course, construction does, there's a thing called a jobs multiplier. construction is a massive jobs multiplier. So for every $1 of residential construction activity, there's $3 of activity in the broader economy. Now, renovations, on the other hand, they don't have the same impact as new housing. So there are fewer jobs created. You know, with a new house, you engage about 40 trades and sub-trades. So you get a lot of people involved when you're building a new house, from digging your footings right through until putting the joinery in. So we think that there's certainly a more bang for buck at the moment for governments to look at new housing rather than renovations.
Sorry, Daniel, keep going. I was just going to say, is it unusual, though, that they'd go to renovations? Is that a sign of, I don't know if desperate's the right word, but of how desperate they are to create jobs by going that far?
Look, basically, as we're coming out of COVID-19, you know, probably sometime between July and October this year, things possibly will slow down. And construction being the state's biggest private sector employer, governments are looking for that stimulation to ensure that people are still working, that the economy is still ticking along. So it potentially is a sign of the times. But we would have concerns if it was about renovations. And look at it like this. If the government gives someone a $40,000 grant for renovation, then they'll probably spend it. They might spend a little bit more than it. But if the grant was attached to the building of a new house, which also contributes to new housing supply, then that $40,000 or $50,000 is a small component of your overall spend rather than the extent of it. So tradies would be better off.
But wouldn't it be one for one, or, you know, you'd have to spend, you know, match dollar for dollar or two for one or something like that? It wouldn't just be, here's 40 grand, spend 45, surely. Otherwise, we'll all be doing it.
Look, these questions are yet to be answered, I guess, and that's why it would be important for the federal government to come out sooner rather than later to answer them. Because, of course, the longer that this period goes on, the more time people are going to wait, thinking that they might get $40,000 or $50,000 as a grant to, you know, fund their renovation out of the back of the house. So we do need the government to, you know, speed things up and provide some of these answers to make sure that there's not a lag on this period right now.
Daniel, just something you said before, 40 trades to build a new house. I'm blown away by that.
40 trades or sub-trades, that's right.
Yeah, I'm thinking, obviously, bricky, concreter, plumber, electrician, tiler. But, yeah, I can't believe you're saying 40 different ones.
I guess you've got air cons, you got who else you got? You got gas people.
Yeah.
You've got
landscapers. You've got sparkies and different sparkies that provide different work.
There's painters, flushers.
Yeah, all right.
And that's why governments are always attracted to construction of new housing, because it does engage so many trades and sub-trades.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And Daniel, by the way, I get all my good advice in the front bar of the Oakbank Hotel. Daniel's dad. Daniel's dad sits there every night.
Yeah. Look, I've always picked up all my best intel from the front bar of Turkey.
He's a good fella. All right. Good on you, Daniel. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, boys.
Good on you, mate. Daniel Gannon, SA Executive Director of the Property Council. But look, there are positive signs there, that things are going to happen. Our tradies will be employed, and a lot of people listening will be able to renovate and build a new home.
Most people we know have lost money through this period. If we can get a bit back by getting a government grant, well, why wouldn't you grab it if you're in the position to be to do it?
Yep. All right. As you mentioned, Rui, on our text line of 0488851047, many people asking for us to replay Friday's segment with Rudy Vanderstone. We're going to do that next. Ruined Dits on Triple M. Indeed, we've got Rocco from Burton. Roo, you make the show better. Dits, stop talking about port. You make me sick.
Good on you, Rocco.
Come on, Rocco.
Great name too, buddy.
What about Steve from Morphett Vale?
What's he said?
Love Alison Mel. Great show.
Is this a joke?
I know.
Not?
This has been happening all morning.
If only they knew lack of input they have into this show.
Oh,
seriously.
Gee. All right, we'll let them run the show from now on. Yeah, they can take over, all right?
Have you got another text there?
All of these people. I have got a text. It's from Rue. Alice, please make us a coffee.
I thought I'd try it out. Can you do it, please? All right. No. Yes, she's nodding her head. All right, good stuff.
Hey, so many text messages about Rudy. We played his best of on Friday. It was hilarious. We've had such good feedback. We'll play the top five next, all right? Rudy Vanderstone coming up here on Triple M. 7:53 Ruined. It's on Triple M, all thanks to Adelaide Tools. Well, it was Friday, wasn't it? We did Rudy's top 10.
We sure did. And it was just a laugh a second, wasn't it?
It was.
And here's his top five, starting with the Netflix hit, The Tiger King.
Joe Exotic is married with two husbands.
What?
Yes, that's right. One is a toothless icy.
And one is a very handsome man, but a massive stoner, and they are both in this marriage against their will. Joe supplies them with drugs and keeps them prisoner. He also wears a gun everywhere and writes and records country and western songs about being gay and big cats. Don't pretend you're not interested, Roo.
I'm going to watch this now, Rudy. Don't worry about that.
One of his husbands looks like you with your shirt off, I tell you. And that's the truth, or the other fella. Let me summarise the Tiger King for you. It has everything. Tigers, lions, murder, a redneck thruple, a one-armed lesbian, alligator arson, mullets, pizza made from expired Walmart meat, a zoo-based sex cult, a crazy cat lady, and country songs about tigers and gay love. I hate myself, but I love it so much. I'm giving this 5 stars.
It's the only show that's ever scored a star with him. It got
Mate,
5.
I can't believe this has come in at 5. My God. What's 4 dits?
This is about Koshy.
How do you pronounce David's surname?
Yeah.
Is it Kosh or is it Cock?
No, it's Cock. I'm pretty sure it's Cock.
Rudy.
I think it should be Cock, but that's just my personal opinion. Now, Cock, or Koshy as he's known to his fan, has such an annoying high-pitched voice, my dog stands in front of the television barking. Has Cock only got one testicle?
Oh, no.
He's the former finance guy off the Denise show. Denise Drysdale show, that is, and somebody at 7 threw him a bone 27 years ago. Now, I can't decide which is my favourite Koshy or Cocky segment, the one where he reads out jokes he's stolen off the internet, or Koshy's Angels, where he sits with some C-grade celebrity women and discusses hot issues like school lunches or packing the dishwasher. Sweet Jesus, it makes me want to put a hammer drill through my forehead.
Oh, well, that was right up there. What's number 3 then? Oh, he hates Rove. He really does hate Rove.
Now, let's see what was up against Saturday Night Rove. On the 7 network, Mrs. Doubtfire had its 300th run. It outrated Rove, as did the Agatha Christie murder mystery on ABC.
No.
Mrs. Doubtfire's success in the ratings proved that people would rather see a man dressed as a woman break a restraining order and set his fake boobs on fire than watch Rove. And, of course, if murder mystery is what the people want, I have one for you. Who killed Australian television on Saturday night? It was Rove in the library with a lamp. Sweet Jesus. Next Saturday night, I'll be doing something more enjoyable than watching Saturday Night Rove, like using a Vipper snipper on my genitals.
Oh, my God. This is a great top 5.
We got 2 to go.
What's number 2, Ditz?
This time next year.
Oh, no.
Oh, this is amazing.
It's a circus tent of human aspiration and inevitable failure, wearing their Sunday best and meeting the little boy from Serbia with the coloured in hair, Karl Stefanovic. Everyone on this show wins. Maybe they should turn the tables with Karl and go back a year in his life. Oh. Hello, Karl. In a year's time, you will achieve the following. You'll be the first Gold Logie winner to be sacked by his network. Your house will be sold for $8 million and your ex will get most of it after being a contestant on Dancing with the Stars. You'll be married to a hot cobbler and you will have packed on 10 kilos. Do you think you can do it? Don't worry, you do. Oh, you're also responsible for your brother and his newlywed losing their jobs at Channel 9.
Oh, when he gets you in his sights,
I can't wait for number 1.
Dead.
All right. This is his best spray.
Today I'm reviewing The Last Dance on Netflix. The hero of this story is not Michael Jordan. It's Jerry Krause, the man that was brave enough to sack Michael Jordan, the greatest in the world.
Maybe Jerry could see Michael's eyes turning yellow and thought, it's not getting any better from here. It'll turn him loose. And everybody thinks he's trying to break up the team.
Yeah, yeah.
Correct. He is trying to break up the team. They're all has-beens. They've won six championships. Get rid of them. Trade bait. Legacy. Put a bullet in them. You've won six. Go. Time to rebuild.
Why do they wear oversized suits?
Because they've got massive penises. You
didn't mention Dennis Rodman.
What about Dennis Rodman? Just consider this in the AFL. Dennis Rodman goes on a five-day bender in Las Vegas, more booger sugar than Scarface, comes back, plays a game.
And gets best on.
Gets best on ground. Where were Wada and Asada? Essendon must be thinking, Jesus Christ.
Swab the man.
Oh. Swab him. I tell you what, you wouldn't have to swab him. You just had to go near him and your face would go numb.
Here comes Dennis.
Here comes Dennis. He was drinking a can of beer on the back of a Harley Davidson, threw it into a dumpster, went inside and trained. Bring back the 90s. You know, when Dennis Rodman goes down to Las Vegas with 13 penthouse pets and a bag of Colombian, well, that's going to make me switch on. Get rid of the basketball and the NBA championships. Give me 10 episodes of Rodman on the road.
Oh, rude. I can listen to that time and time again.
I reckon I listened to it about five times.
Well, we've posted his top 10. The best sprays, they're on Triple M Adelaide social media accounts this morning, so make sure you check those out.
Just give me 10 episodes of Rodman. More booger sugar than Scarface. He's unbelievable.
The text messages continue to come in.
Oh, no.
I've had enough of this. Keep up the great work, Mel and Alice.
Oh, no.
No,
then he says, are you coming back to the gym, Dits? No. Michael, no. not if you're going to text stuff like
we
that.
We do have to soon, Dits. We have to go back.
Ruined Dits on Triple M. In a moment, we're heading to America. We're talking to an African-American man who lives in Mississippi. What is it like living as a black person there right now? We'll find out in just a moment. Ruined Dits on Triple M. Some good text coming through. This one from Jordan from Warradale just says, with 800 O's at the end of it. That
made word economist.
And Damien from Narracourt, listening on the app, which so many people are doing now.
Everywhere.
You can listen through the app.
Yep.
I should change my name to Goldfinger after urinating on my hand to get rid of warts. So there you go. Some of the intelligent stuff we've got coming
exactly right.
This morning.
After our first one, it couldn't be much worse than our first one yesterday.
No.
On your dickheads.
Yeah, that was a good start to our brand new concept.
We were very rapid with the start there.
All right, to something very serious. Let's talk about the United States and what's happening. Rioting just out of control in now over 40 cities over there.
Nationwide, from Chicago to New York to Denver, there is mounting outrage over the death of 46-year-old George Floyd.
What's his name? George Floyd! What's his name? George Floyd!
I'm never going to get my brother back. We need justice. They executed my brother in broad daylight.
I'm frustrated and I'm angry and I feel powerless.
Yes, we are upset. Yes, we are hurting.
If you want change in America, go and register to vote. That is the change we need in this country. You are disgracing our city. You are disgracing the life of George Floyd.
So not a good situation over there, Ruan. I think whichever side you take, whichever way you look at it, I think we're all understanding of why it's out of control. The autopsy was released this morning concerning George Floyd, wasn't it?
Yeah, an independent one. This was done by his family. They got someone to conduct it on their behalf, and it did say that, you know, he died from compression on the neck.
Yep, and asphyxiation. Yep, no doubt about that. We're going to head to the state of Mississippi in just a moment. A gentleman's going to join us by the name of Topher Townsend. He's actually a black rapper over there, but he's got a very, very balanced view of what's going on. He's going to join us next all the way from Mississippi. Ruined Dits on Triple M. Ruined Dits here on Triple M. Ru, the situation in the United States is still spiralling out of control, unfortunately. I think we're up to about 40 cities now where major protests are happening. We know there's looting, there's violence. We're about to talk to a gentleman who lives in Mississippi. He's a rapper, a well-known rapper who has hundreds of thousands of followers right around the world, and he's taken part in protests in his own city. Topher Townsend, a very good morning.
Hey, what's going on, everyone?
Are you embarrassed about what's going on over there, Topher, in terms of the police's behaviour and many of the individuals, or how do you feel about the whole situation?
Well, obviously, you know, as an American, we are embarrassed anytime you want to invite somebody to your house and it's dirty, right? So that's what we got going on right now. The place is a mess. We got fires everywhere. We got people not listening. We got, you know, Antifa that has now been classified as a terrorist organization organizing all of this. And the sad part, though, guys, is that they're taken away from the true meaning of the protests and what we wanted for George Floyd, and that's justice and progress.
Do you believe there are many, many people that think like you, that think, and I'm talking African Americans here, that think we're doing this the wrong way, we need to do this peacefully?
I would agree 100%. Many of the people in my community and local communities are not the ones that's inciting the riots or attacking the police officers. There are people bust in from other towns and cities that are coming in and destroying places and taking loot and going out of state. And this is backed by the fact that a lot of the arrests made were people that was from out of state.
Over the last couple of days, I've heard a couple of people put this quite succinctly and make their point very well, that they've said, as African Americans, we've tried peaceful, we've tried the bending down on one knee before football games, and we've tried other things, and it just hasn't worked. And maybe people have been forced into these actions. How would you answer that?
I would say there's some half truth to that, but this is how I saw it. So Kaepernick kneeling, should he have kneeled maybe in a different place? I believe so. Do I think him kneeling for the flag was disrespectful as a vet? No. But I do believe that once you got the media's attention and the world's attention, it's time for you to take action, and that action never was taken. Therefore, people feel like their voice wasn't never heard. So my thing is, let's go back to the drawing board right now, since we've got the world's attention in, and let's actually pass, vote, and get people in office that's going to pass policies that's going to make sure that we're all protected as American citizens.
Topher, what about the incident 3 weeks ago when the African-American gentleman was out going for a run? He was jogging and he was shot by a father and son. Surely images like that and incidents like that must make us all think that there is such a long, long way to go.
So the Ahmaud Arbery situation I've been covering heavily on my social media as well. And it just was an unfortunate event. One thing I want people to know is if we want true change, is to remember that We can't get mad at the people involved. We got to get mad at the laws that's going to make sure that we see the justice that we want done. And in that situation, you know, we could say that they had ulterior motive or it was race. You know, it was because of his race when he was running through the neighborhood and looking into the houses. But I always tell people, as a black man, I try not to give people any reason to doubt or question what I'm doing. So every day I'm moving around purposeful. So if I'm going, like I said, if I'm going to work, I'm going to work. I'm not going to go around and snoop around or be somewhere that I'm not supposed to be without permission, just because I don't want anybody to have any excuse to take advantage of that situation.
So therefore, there is a difference. A white man doesn't have to think like that, surely, on a daily basis.
Maybe, maybe not. I mean, it depends what neighborhoods you're talking about. I mean, yep. I'm not going to be the dude that just says, you know, white people don't face discrimination, because if you look at, you know, people that live in Detroit or predominantly black neighborhoods like Chicago, I'm pretty sure they just can't go running down the street without gang members coming after them.
So, well, you've got a very balanced view. You really, really have an admirable view.
I have to, because I feel like without that view, I will keep feeding to the narrative that the media is trying to paint, which will never get us to the true solutions we're seeking. So I have to be balanced if I want true change and progress.
What do you think about Donald Trump wanting to declare Antifa as a terror group? Do you agree with him or not?
I absolutely agree. I've been wanting this to be a thing for a while, because right now, you know, we got the KKK and alt-right, other groups that we, you know, highly condemn, but we have yet to raise our hand against Antifa just because they're part of the left. And the left has been given a little bit more, leeway to do what they want to do. And I'm glad he's finally reining them in. And I'm glad they're finally showing their true colors.
Topher, you're an absolute gentleman, mate. And as I said, I admire your stance on this. Thank you so much for talking to us.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys.
There he is, Topher Townsend, who's a rapper living in Mississippi in the United States. 828 on Triple M, thanks to Adelaide Tools. Roo, this text line isn't long for this
You're
world.
You're addicted to that.
Nah, this isn't
moment.
Long for this world. Here's the latest one. To the Roo, Ditz and Alice show. If someone brings gold every time they contribute, cash in. More Alice, it says, with exclamation marks.
It's becoming a little
Alice
game.
Alice is your rudder. This is from Gaz. You're our rudder now.
Oh, my God, I love that. Can Alice you start the rudder. Listening to that text line, please?
Alice the Rudder.
Now, here's more Alice.
Ladies. Ruin Dits for breakfast on Triple M.
We thought you girls were sugar and spice and all things nice.
Ruin Dits Angels.
Good morning, Angels.
Good morning, Ruin Dits.
Emma G is back in. More of the GOAT today, yep. Emma. In fact, we'll announce just shortly who the next
14th
one is.
14th greatest of all time.
There's going to be a riot, too. Speaking of riots, there will be a riot. When we announce this one today.
Too soon, Dits.
There will be.
Too soon.
Oh, tell you what, controversial. Alice the Wag is here. Our rudder. How are you, Alice?
Good morning. Just ruddering along.
And Mel the Button Pusher.
Good morning.
Now, something happened when Alice was out shopping over the weekend. She went to one of the big shopping centres around town. And
I'm surprised she can still go to shopping centres with a fame and everything.
I know.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I don't know. This was a risk.
She goes out now wearing a black wig and dark glasses and everything. She's incognito because of the attention she's getting. But, Roo, you know how hard it is for us blokes, you know, when you're out and about over the years, when you're a young fella in a nightclub and you're looking across the room and you spot that girl and you go, gee, I wish I had the courage to go up and talk to her.
I couldn't do that.
I've never been able to do it.
No, you need a few drinks.
I was that nervous and I was always hopeless with it. But anyway, a fella mustered up the courage on the weekend to approach Alice and say, and how did it go, Alice? What happened?
Well, I was in the essential oil shop, so I was already a bit flustered because there was so many to choose from. So I was trying to sniff them all and they all started smelling the same. So I was already a bit, it was very hot too, so I was very stressed. And then I looked to my right.
It was hot on the weekend.
In the shop. I was just really flustered.
Because you had to make a decision.
And so then this guy comes up to me, and I'd already told the shop assistant I didn't want help, so I was already flustered. And then this guy comes up to me, and he's like, oh, and I'm not making this up. You guys aren't going to believe me.
Oh, come on. Of course you wouldn't.
I just saw you walking through the shopping centre, and I thought, wow, that is the most drop-dead gorgeous girl I've ever seen.
That is called blowing your own
And he said, I would never forgive myself if I didn't come up and ask you for your number.
Right.
And my face, you have never seen a face more red. I was so overwhelmed and I didn't even look in the eye.
He said, the most gorgeous girl I've ever seen.
Drop dead.
Sorry, I left out drop dead.
Nothing about Claudia Schiffer.
I was waiting for
him. He looked like Claudia Schiffer, yeah.
And he was young. He was my age, so I thought, oh, he's not a triple M.
You're not young anymore. You're middle age, you know that.
Wow.
So you let him down gently.
Just letting you know you don't have hair.
How did you respond? You were nice to him.
I just panicked. I didn't even give him eye contact. And
I didn't even look him in the eye.
I've got a boyfriend and walked away.
Now,
but you haven't got a boyfriend, have you?
I know, but I was so flustered.
What did he look like? What did he look like? Was he nice or?
He was lovely looking. He, just not my type, I would say.
How do you know? How would you know
you
from
didn't
that
even
encounter?
Look him in the eye, you liar. Not my type.
It's just not what you expect type? When you're at the shops.
Emma G.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Now, I know you're with Fernando.
Yes.
But do you understand how difficult it is for a boy to walk up to you and say, yeah, gee, I like you. Or, you know, can I have your phone number?
Yeah. And like first hearing that story, I thought, oh, gee, that's creepy. But upon further thought, I actually really rate that. I think a guy, firstly, who's into essential oils, tick.
He followed me into the shop.
All right, well, that's another thing. But I think that if he's got the balls to do that, I really rate that over, you know, what was the alternative? Tinder, Bumble, real life contact. I think, yeah, ticks for me.
Or what I did, I asked Kate out via text message.
Yeah, but you've got to have a number
and
first.
And look now,
to do
we're
that.
Married. We're married. So there you go.
But that's not brave, is it?
Well,
message.
It worked.
It did work.
As I keep reminding
But we get told off if we do a text because that's not, you know, romantic. Yeah. The bloke puts his reputation on the line and stumps up the courage to do it and he gets shot down on radio.
Oh. Alice, did other people see this happen? Did anyone comment?
I put my head down and I ran to the car.
No! What?
I know. I was just, I don't know what happened to me.
You probably knocked back a future husband here. Potential.
No, because he wasn't my type, so I haven't.
How do you know that? You don't judge him by the cover.
I definitely judged him by the cover.
I know you did. That's breaking rules, isn't it, Dits?
Well, he judged me by the cover. He said I was drop-dead gorgeous.
Oh, don't go on about it. Right, Mel. Mel, are you appreciative of how tough that is for a bloke to do or
Absolutely
not?
I am, and I love it.
Has this happened?
Maybe 20 years ago, but yeah, it's been a while. Oh, actually, Danny picked up the phone, so I know we worked together, but he still gave me a call to ask me out. So at the time, I remember thinking that is so brave, considering most times you'd either text.
So you didn't expect that? You didn't see that coming?
Well, I knew he would, but
no, no.
But he did.
Confidence in this room, isn't it?
Yeah, not short on confidence. Jeez. But I think it just shows, like, none of us even like picking up the phone in general anymore. People break up via text. Mm. We're all used to really crappy forms of communication. So when someone actually approaches you, you panic.
Oh, you think they're a stalker.
Yeah, and because initially I was exactly like Em. I thought, oh, that's so creepy. What was he doing following you? And then I thought, well, that's no different to him swiping right.
And if it was a movie and he was like Ryan Gosling or...
Oh, yeah, it would be totally romantic.
I would be like, that is so romantic.
But he was not.
I got picked up at a shopping centre. I got stalked by my wife.
See, it's a fairy tale.
See, if you could have... You know, Sarah did exactly the same thing as that bloke, basically, except she lied and said the autograph was for her nephew and it was for her. So you may have just missed...
And then you brought $300 worth of clothes
That's
from the
right.
shop.
I was straight back out like a dog with a bone.
Right, this is out of control now. So they want Emma G's number. They want Mel's phone number. Someone here saying, this is on our text line here, which is turning into Tinder, by the way. Saying this bloke, the bloke in the shopping centre speaks the truth.
Drop dead gorgeous.
Matthew wants to take you out on a date.
No.
We need to do something on Triple M.
No, go to an ad break.
Where can we buy Alice tickets to the Alice show? And no. Alice, please blind date me. Bloody hell.
Far out. You're going to be really busy.
Yeah. This is like perfect match, isn't it?
Perfect. Perfect. You got a perfect match.
Right, they are the Angels.
Now. Like a Sherpa lost in the mountains.
High on a hill was a lonely goat.
We're on a journey to find the goat. You helped us build the list. Now we're counting them down each day. From 20. Not bad. To number one. Get your goat on with goat soap at Chemist Warehouse. Triple M's goat.
We are down to number 14, Roo, so we're getting to the serious end of this. Although every band, every artist has been serious, has been a real, real legend.
Yep.
This might be a little controversial, this one.
Well,
shall we go with it?
Just about everyone else has. I couldn't believe Nirvana yesterday.
Mm. Number 15.
I don't know.
You know what this band means to Triple M and to our listeners. Here it is, number 14.
G'day, Shimmy Barnes here. I'm Ian Moss.
No.
Listen loud, turn it up.
Cold Chisel. They formed in Adelaide in 1973. But Adelaide can't claim ownership of Cold Chisel because in the years that followed, they moved around the country, from Adelaide to Melbourne and eventually settled in Sydney.
I left my heart to the devil's round kitchen.
Where they began what could only be considered a full-on assault of the Aussie pub scene.
We've literally played to almost everybody in this country individually. Whoa!
Cold Chisel quickly got a name as one of the best live gigs around. One, two,
three, my job was to make everybody think it was Saturday night, no matter what night of the week it was. Every night of the week was Saturday night for us.
Saturday night.
Despite travelling Australia in the Tarago and being loved everywhere,
I got the keys to the city, baby.
Cold Chisel never quite made it overseas.
I always thought that Cold Chisel was one of the best rock and roll bands in the world. We never reproduced that, but whether it was going to or not was another question.
And after a tour of Europe went so bad that Don Walker once flipped his keyboard over and stormed off the stage, Cold Chisel returned home and eventually broke up.
Thank you.
But not before one of the greatest gigs in Australian history.
Oh!
Cold Chisel's Last Stand.
Too wealthy.
We played like a great rock and roll band because we're best mates and we knew each other that well, and it was really just running on instinct.
In 1993, they were inducted into the ARIA Hall of Fame. And over the years, they've reunited over and over again.
One of the great things about that band is a tension. It's that thing that makes it really exciting and could implode at any second.
Every new album they hit. Together, broken up, whatever. Cold Chisel's destined to be one of those bands that lives on forever.
I live in hope as much as everyone else. Still feel like we've got a lot more to give you.
If the audience keeps yelling, we'll keep playing.
And if you don't like at least one of their songs, well, that's just un-Australian. So raise a glass. us if you've got one and give a full-fisted rock salute. Two, Cold Chisel.
I don't want to be negative, but it's hard to believe, Roo. Number 14, they are number one in our hearts, aren't they?
Oh, they're certainly, you know, on the podium, aren't they, in Triple M. But
how many great songs?
What about that quote from Jimmy Barnes there? Our job was to make everyone think it was Saturday night, every night of the week.
That's right.
What a ripper that was, and did he do that for many years?
But they've transcended generations. You know, our parents liked them, and, you know, and our older brothers and sisters, and then our kids like them. So that's what's so unique about them, and great bands like them.
Ooh, look forward to the next 13, Dits.
All right, so you'll hear Cold Chisel throughout the day, and a reminder at 3 o'clock, their three best songs as voted by you.
8, 5, 3, 4.
This is a guy who started in the sleazy back bars of Berlin.
You were there, you remember, darling.
Am I ever going to see your face again?
Please welcome to Triple M's Ruin Dits for Breakfast, Adelaide's favourite German, Hans.
Well, we're getting him on for a special reason this morning, Roo. He's got a big role to play, a big
sure
job.
Has.
So you know our government and tourism have been saying, please get out and about, go to the areas. Well, he's the ambassador for SA Tourism Commission. Hans, good morning.
Boys, good morgen. I can tell you what, I am at one of the best places in South Australia this morning. I'm literally standing in front of the Port Elliot Bakery, honey. Get ready.
They don't need any promoting, Hans. They got lineups all the time.
Oh, like you can talk, Alma boy.
Now, if you eat too many pies and pasties, it'll go straight to your hips. You know that, Hans.
Tell me about it. Tell me. What do you think I've been doing in this lockdown? You know, everybody's like, oh, I'm going to download some Chris Hemsworth app. I'm going to do that. No, of course, I stupidly decided to master the Pavlova, didn't I? Thank God these costumes stretched. That's all I'll say, honey.
All right. Now, you're driving around in a big pink Hummer, so we can't miss you. Whereabouts?
Yes.
Where have you been so far and where are you going to head to?
Okay, so yesterday we were all in the Adelaide Hills. We went to some fabulous places like Mount Lofty House.
Beautiful.
We, of course, went down to Harndorf, darlings. I mean, I had to check in on them all.
Can't see the relatives,
Check the fake Germans there. That annoys me. And then we went to a place called Lot 100. Now, if you haven't been to Lot 100, it's amazing. It's basically a brewery, a winery, food. Everything is a collective there, and it's just the most amazing view over the Adelaide Hills. It's spectacular. So then after that, we've taken the pink Hummer this morning. We've gone down to Middleton, down to Port Elliot, and then later on today we'll be at Monaro Zoo. I hope they don't lock me up, boys.
That is every chance. I'm sure the animals will love it.
Well, mate, keep it up, Hans. You're doing a great job, and this is all for South Australia. We want everyone to get out and visit the regions. Hans, I'm heading down to... I'm actually going to Robe for the long weekend. I love
of
getting out
to South. Of course you're going to Robe with all the posh bitches. I love it.
That's right.
Burnside by the beach, isn't it? It's fabulous.
Burnside by the beach.
Yeah, I like that one.
Good on you, Hans. Well done, mate. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, lovers.
There he is, Hans. And, look, I'm going to the Barossa in a couple of weeks. I'm going to Robe. You're going up the river, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going up to my usual horn up at Wakery. But, he's got to do all the regions. So we've got Adelaide Hills, Barossa, Clare Valley, Eyre Peninsula, Fleurieu Peninsula, Flinders, Ranges and Outback, Kangaroo Island, Limestone Coast, Murray River Lakes, Riverland and York Peninsula. He's going to be a busy boy, Hans.
Very, very busy. Ruined it's here on Triple M.